A question was posed to me in recent days, or posed before me, I should say, and it was something like this. Does the church really understand what is happening in our day? And what are we going to do? How are we going to navigate these uncertain times? A study of history tells us that this is not the first time that a nation has chosen to walk away from God. You know, here in America, we have been so very blessed, haven't we? And I don't want to take anything away from the blessing of our freedoms, the blessings that we have enjoyed and continue to enjoy today. But in so many ways, we've also been spoiled, right? We've been spoiled in the fact that there has not been a challenge to our religious freedoms, at least not to the extent that we have felt endangered, that we've had to go into hiding, at least not yet. But you know, around the world, there's our brothers and sisters who face this every day. I have a friend who is in contact with a gentleman in Pakistan, and I've had the privilege of praying for this brother. And I love saying that. I've never met him. I've seen a few pictures of him, but he's a brother. And, you know, let's be real about this. The church is bigger than here, and the church is bigger than America. The church didn't begin here, right? And there's a brother in Pakistan who his day job is selling textiles for his company. He's a salesman. But he is actively ministering in his village, establishing a Christian school in a Muslim village, and ministering at a church in that village. I don't know if they have a building where they meet, but I do know they have a few buildings for their school, and they've established a sewing ministry to help ladies earn money. But all of these things are under the direct care of believers. And this brother is seeking to direct this ministry, and he shared that he is being watched. There is the constant threat of persecution. The governing authorities want bribes in order for approvals and permits. But yet, he still goes on. He still serves. He's married and has two small children. And yet he still goes on and he pushes on. What would you do? What, if you had two small children and your life was endangered, what would we do? Would we stop what we're doing? Would we change the things that we're doing? You know, the specifics are unclear, but the principles are laid out before us in the Word of God. And that's one thing I love, because, you know, we do not know the specifics of the future of each of our individual lives. We do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. We do not know who's going to approach us and challenge us. You know, we don't know the decisions that our governing authorities are going to make. And so in many ways, we wait and we watch. But there is principles that God's Word gives to us so that as we wait and as we watch, we remain active in the work of God. There is a temptation in these days for a passive response to what is going on. In other words, because I cannot do things or limited in what I can do, I will hold off and stop and wait for the dust to clear. And yet, what we know from God's word is that we have been called as believers. We have been called to a clear mission. You are here, aren't you? On this earth? Why? Well, we know that God has called us to reach the lost with the gospel and to live out that gospel to a lost and dying world who indeed is watching us. Well, this question that came at me, I wasn't so sure how to answer immediately. And you know, have you ever felt like you feel like you have to have answers? But yet, I didn't feel I could answer. So I listened. I listened to the conversations. I didn't know exactly how to respond. But what the Lord was doing already in my life was He was exposing me to a passage of Scripture in my devotional time. What I thought was interesting was I think it was the very day or the day before. For 4 days this week, I was in Proverbs chapter 3. And in the middle of that, this question was posed to me. And I began to see some dots, began to connect some dots. And I want you to understand as followers of the Lord that your devotional time, the things you listen to on the radio or watch on the TV, the messages that your pastor preaches, pay attention because God orchestrates all of that in your life. And I can't dictate that and control that, and I can't point out to you necessarily how it's all going to fit together. But do you pay attention to that? Do you see how those things work? I think it's exciting. I mean, it's the Spirit. And each of us have the Spirit in our lives. So I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 3 today for some time and just digesting a bit of some wisdom from this book of wisdom. Most believe that Solomon composed most of this under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. It is fitting and understand that Solomon, when he was asked by the Lord, what would you choose, what would you like me to give, he chose wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3 probably is most familiar to you for verses 5 and 6, and again, they will be a focal point of our time together today. But let's say them together. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Did you think about what you were saying? Let's try it again. And this time, first time we were trying to remember it. Now that we have it in front of us, we can read it, okay? Let's just digest it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. As we interact with one another, one of the phrases that might come out is, hey, we just got to trust the Lord. Now, listen to how I said that, right? Did you catch that? We just got to trust the Lord. What does that communicate? Well, that communicates that it's obvious. Come on, wake up. You need to understand this. It's kind of demeaning coming across the way I was saying it. Another thing you could think about is trust in the Lord. Okay, that's great. Those are four words that I've heard all my Christian life, and I understand that. But what does that really mean? Trust in the Lord. You know, as I was working through this in my devotional time, I thought of how those words, they have incredible power. But yet, what does it look like? Give us a context. How is this, shall we say, transcribed from the paper to my person? From that line on the page to the life on the path? What does it look like? Now, let's zooming out, where we understand that the book of Proverbs here, the first 9 chapters, is postured in such a way as if you have a father sitting down with his son, and he's teaching his son. And he's saying, my son, these are important truths and principles that I want you to understand. This is what I want you to get in your life. And so he says, my son, my son, my son, over and over in the first 9 chapters. The first 9 chapters are more cohesive and they have a flow. In fact, as you looking at your Bibles, if you look at the end of chapter 2, look at the last 2 verses. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 21 and 22 says, "For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Now that is context. Because as the father goes into chapter 3 and continues, and we get to that trusting in the Lord, his son has a context. His son has a promise before him. And we as a church, what God has given to us in his word is he has given to us his purposes, his promises. He's laid them out for us so that no matter what our life looks like, no matter what our future, we have those to hold on to. They are our lifeline. And so we see that these purposes and promises as expressed in verses 21 and 22 of chapter 2 talk about the upright, the complete, and it talks about the wicked and the transgressors. And in fact, it lays out on both counts what their future will be like. Of course, the upright, they dwell in the land, they shall remain in it. That's the positive. That's the father saying this to his son, listen, that's what you and I, that's where you and I want to be and ought to be. But that's for the upright. You see, the wicked, they're cut off from the earth. They'll be rooted out of it. So thinking this as a son, listening to his father sharing these things, there's the process going on in his mind. Where do I want to be? Do I want to be rooted out or do I want to remain? Well, the father says, listen, it's you need to live uprightly. Otherwise, if you live wickedly, here you have it laid out. This is the context. Listen, today in America, there's this context. You live uprightly. You live uprightly. And what you find is you will dwell in the Lord and your future will be secure in Him. But you live wickedly and there is clear consequences. In fact, the New Testament lays it out for us. In fact, even in the Old Testament tells us there are eternal consequences for the way we live our lives here and now. And so chapter 3 begins, my son, don't forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel, and marrow to thy bones. In these first eight verses, we see a focus is on the heart. What ought to be the sphere of my trust in the Lord? It's in my heart. You know, don't you, that when we get our heart right, we get our life right. Your actions follow. You see, the inner man is really what determines what comes out. If you look at this chapter, you see heart mentioned in these first eight verses. You see it in verse 3. Verse 1 to start. It is in verse 3, but I want to start in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. As we navigate uncertain days, it will be important for us to make sure we are doing what we're doing, not because of appearance sake, but because in our heart we know it's what God wants us to do. This is the issue that Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. They had it right on the outside. They were nice and clean on the outside, but inside he called them like sepulchers, graves, full of dead men's bones. Because they did not obey God's commands from the heart. Looking at verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. This father is not concerned about just as having a son that looks good on the outside. Just comply, son. Oh, how many of us as parents struggle with that, right? Because if you could just get your child to comply for that moment, you can breathe for a little bit, relax, and you know deep in your heart that their heart is not right, but at least they did what you wanted them to do. And you're just like, whew, I get it. But you know what? If we just stop there, and if that's the way we parent, what we're going to have is we're going to have children that grow up two-faced. Children that grow up with this, I'll do on the outside here, but my heart is really over here. And we should not be surprised if we see children walk away, or at least struggle, shall we say? Feel that tension in their life. And I'm not blaming it all on parenting, but you know, we can really help our kids if we can be disciplined in diving deep into their heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? What do you truly believe about what you're doing? So yeah, I'm talking about children, but you know what? What about us as adults? You know, we can be so fickle. We can be hypocritical. We can put things, lay them out on the outside, but in our hearts we struggle and question. You notice, we see it in verse 1, the heart in keeping God's commandments. We notice it in verse 3, write them upon the table of your heart. In other words, son, take action to do it yourself. You lay these things in your heart. And then, of course, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The context of trust is this inner confidence. It is in your heart. Do I trust the Lord? And now ask this, do I trust the Lord with all my heart? That presses deeper, doesn't it? It pushes down further into you and me, and it causes me to think, how am I really? Do I really truly believe that the Lord is my confidence? Listen, I know that there is all kind of crazy things raging around us. And I know that even in this room, there are all kinds of differing perspectives and views and all of that. And you know what? One thing I believe God wants us to do today is make sure that as we live life, we are trusting the Lord with all of our heart. You can have conversations about whatever you want to have, but if you approach it from the standpoint, I am trusting the Lord with all my heart, it is amazing how it tempers your conversation, how it calms your spirit, and how no matter what your future holds, you press on. Because I know, I don't know what tomorrow holds for us. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. You know, what are we going to do when things begin to change? When the pressure is put upon us as Christians in this country? When we are being dictated to about how we can or cannot worship the Lord and live and express? And you might say, Pastor, you're talking like this is something that's going to happen. Well, I want you to understand that America, its future is, its days are numbered. And there's nowhere in the scriptures where we are promised to have religious liberty for the rest of our days. We need to remember that we are patriots first and foremost to the kingdom of God. And that is why the Father tells the Son to trust in the Lord with all of his heart, to not trust in his nation, to not trust in the king, to not trust in what different people are telling you. Trust in the Lord. You know, he doesn't even say, trust in me as your father. He says, trust in the Lord. You know, our own understanding, how many of us think we've got a pretty good understanding on things? We think we got the right perspective. We get it. We understand. Oh, really? You know that everything that we see, we process as a result of things that we have learned, we've been taught. You know, my daughter sees the color of her shoes, and I tell her it's pink. And so therefore, she looks at her shoes and she says that they are pink. She had to be taught that. It was not just some natural thing when she grew up and was able to talk that all of a sudden she knew her shoes were pink. Because I might say they're pink, Mom might say they're magenta. But, you know, we are processing these things based on what we have learned, based upon the things that come across our path. And listen, this is why it is so key that you are careful with what you allow into your eyes and ears. We have a ton of opportunity and we can spend a ton of time letting things into our eye gate and into our ears. And those things can be true or false, who knows, these days. And so therefore your understanding is going to be based upon your interpretation of those things that come at you. So where in the world do you go? Where do you stand? How in the world do you navigate? My son, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do not be deceived in thinking that your understanding is right. No, trust in the Lord. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, that's fine and dandy, but how do I do that? How put this out there for me so that I can take it from just this nice mantra of trust in the Lord to my life? Verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. All right, son, you want to know how to do this. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. Acknowledge is that idea of, Lord, you are overall. You are creator. You are, you are, you are. You continue down that road of this is who you are, Lord. And so in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge that my Lord is a part of this walk, a part of this process. And I trust him. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Some translations, he shall make your paths straight. You know what? That's what I desire for our church. That's what I desire for my life personally. I'd like to walk the straight path. I want our church, the Lord's church, to walk that straight path, to not go off and be led astray. And so as a pastor, my question was, Lord, how do I lead? And this was one of the passages that God brought to my attention. We need to make sure that we are people who are trusting the Lord in our hearts. Now, I know it's challenging to bite off huge pieces of Scripture. But sometimes I think we do ourselves a disservice. And so I'm going to read more of chapter 3 because it's important for us to see it all together. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Are these good things? Yes. You want this. You want this in your life. But do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, we can have various different conversations about politics or what's happening in our state or with the virus and all of those things. And conversations are fine, but you know what? It can become a waste of time when they begin to be all about the virus or politics and there's no inclusion of the Lord. And you begin to wonder, why in the world are we having this conversation? Listen, acknowledge the Lord in all of these things. Ask yourself, Lord, how do I talk about this? How do I interpret this? Because I cannot trust my own eyes, and I cannot trust my own ears, especially in this day. As I was thinking of this, I was thinking about there is coming a day, and we call it the tribulation, when the world will face a temporary peace, a tyrannical premier, a treacherous piety. These are just words I'm putting together, but the reality is that this world is going to experience this peace that's only temporary, established by the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be this tyrant over all the world, and there's going to be this worship that is treacherous. It's, in other words, that's not of God, but it's of the Antichrist. And Revelation describes it in those days as a day of deception. And I believe we're seeing how that's going to be accomplished, how it can be accomplished, how so many people can be deceived, all in one time, one moment. It's interesting, when you read the book of Revelation, which we have done recently in the last year or two in our study, how it exposes this future, this tribulation. And it says that there will be some who are saved during that time, and they face these things, and they are called upon to live and stand for Christ, even to the death. What do you say to those people? One of the things I believe they will hold on to is Proverbs chapter 3, and they say, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, because the news and the media and the politicians and the conversations are going to be saying all kinds of different things. Get the mark. It's the only way you'll survive. All of this, how are you going to sort through it? And I believe those believers will hold to passages like this. Trusting in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, because you're going to be deceived. Did you ever stop and think about how is the Antichrist going to convince the world that He was killed and then rose from the dead? There's some amazing things that could be accomplished through technology. Deception is rampant. And it's rampant, yes, today, but it's just going to increase. And so we must be a people who are discerning. And being discerning is not trying to find all of these errors, but rather maintain your focus on the truth. And you might say, well, Pastor, then I'm ignoring all of these other things. No, you're living in them, but you're going to walk the path, a straight path, even though the world is swirling around you. Honor the Lord, verse 9, with all your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. I'm not going to comment on everything because you get this. You understand this. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, even as a father the son in whom He delights. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than merchandise of silver, and gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, by understanding has He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Just comment on verses 19 and 20. Notice there he emphasizes what the scriptures teach about the creation, God being the creator, and he wants the son to hold on to that. The Lord by wisdom. Why do I want to trust the Lord in His wisdom? Because He's the one who made the world. I think that's a pretty good credential. Verse 21, my son, let not them depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto your soul, grace to your neck. Then you shall walk in your way safely, and your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and sleep shall be sweet. Amen? Anyone desire sweet sleep? Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. Isn't it interesting? He says, when it comes, as if there's no question. When it comes, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. You know, one of the reasons I preach this is because I do not want to see any of us be taken, be duped, be deceived, be led astray. So how do I help? What do I do as your pastor? Well, I share with you this scripture with the value of God's wisdom laid out before you, the benefits of it. In verses 27 through 35, we see that the father understands that this son is living in a real world. Notice the various people that are mentioned in these last verses. Withhold, verse 27, not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power, in thy hand to do it. Say not unto your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by you. Devise not evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwells securely by you. Strive not with man without cause, if he have done you no harm. So notice, we've got neighbors. Now verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Do we have oppressors? Are there oppressors around us? Verse 32, for the froward, that another way we could say is for the perverted, is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The Lord's secret counsel, the Lord's word is with the righteous. Do we have perverted around us in our world today? The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. Are there wicked in our world today? Surely he scorns the scorners, but he gives grace unto the lowly. Are there scorners in our world today? And by scorners, these are those who despise you and despise God. Yes. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Are there fools in our world today? What is a fool? A fool is someone who knows what's right but doesn't do it. You know what? I love how the father's just real with his son, laying out, you live in a real world. You've got neighbors. Take good care of them. Live rightly with them. You have people who will oppress you and push you down. Don't choose any of their ways. You've got the perverted. You know what? The perverted, they're an abomination to the Lord. You've got God's counsel. Hold to it. There are wicked around you, my son. But know that the curse of the Lord is in their house. For some reason, I will tell you, my flesh is drawn to the wicked and to the perverted. My flesh is drawn to those things. But let us know and realize that the curse of the Lord is in their house. But he blesses the habitation of the just. Scorners. The Lord will scorn the scorners, but he gives grace unto the lowly. Which side of that equation do you want to be on? And as verse 35 is just a real healthy wake-up to us in how we care for our world and the people in it. Notice verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And when I read that, this question challenged my heart. How do I respond when I hear of the future of the wicked? How do I respond when I hear of the future of the wicked? Do I rejoice in their shame? Do I have a heart of disdain? Or do I have a heart of compassion? Clearly, Proverbs gives advice in the real world where both the wicked and the just live. That's our world too. How shall I then live? How do I live in this world? Well, let us remember Jesus' example of how he came to seek and to save those who were lost. And we still live in this age where God's grace is laid out, offered freely to people to be saved. And who does he save? He saves the perverted, the wicked. He saves those who are scorners. He saves them according to his pleasure, for his glory. and he draws them unto himself and he changes them. You know what? You and I, that's who we were before Christ saved us. You know, what do we do? How do we navigate this? I don't know the future. Well, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your paths. I can't lay out for you a formula because I don't know what the future holds. But I will tell you that the biblical formula is laid out here, isn't it? You trust in the Lord. What's life going to be like? I'm not encouraging us to be afraid of the future. We're going to push forward, not with reckless abandon, not with because of just fate. We push forward because we know that our Lord understands what's around the corner. We know that the Lord has a future for us and that it is secure in Christ. We know and understand that judgment is coming on this world, on this nation, upon the wicked. And we want to see people rescued, saved. As you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning as we contemplate and think over the word that has been shared with us. At the beginning of our service, we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in that passage, it talks about the last days and perilous times that shall come. It talks about, yea, and all that will live godly. And that word will is not your future tense to be verb. That word will is that choosing. Yea, all that choose to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But, Paul tells Timothy, continue thou in the things which you've learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them, and that from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God, the church of God, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What are we going to do? We're going to trust in the Lord and hold tightly to His word. Will He guide us? Do you believe He will? Do you believe in your heart He will guide you individually, personally? Do you believe He will guide your church, His church? God is not shocked or surprised by anything. And so therefore, these verses that we've known for many, many years, still they are true. Are you trusting in the Lord today? And not just trusting, do you trust in Him with all your heart? How much are you resting on your own understanding? Are you acknowledging Him in all your ways? You want a straight path. You want to walk that path. I know you do. Well, then follow this recipe that's given by a father to a son. And I believe given by God to us today for us to live and apply. Lord Jesus, thank you. It's been a good time together. And I've enjoyed interacting with your people and in your word. And I believe we have a lot to think about. But Lord, we have a confidence and a security, an assurance, a courage. And it doesn't come from our own abilities. It comes from you. And I say, praise be to the Lord. Help your people. Go, Lord, and give them great strength as you lead them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.